Well, hello, everyone. I'm excited to be here with you and to talk briefly about this wonderful parable that most of us grew up knowing, which is the story about the prodigal son. And in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 11, it starts by saying, and he said this, that there was a man who had two sons. And the younger son of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of my property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had, and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out as one of the citizens of the country, and he sent him into the fields of the pigs. And when he was losing and longing for what was used to be at home, he began to think about what he left behind. But he came to himself and said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I'm here perishing with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still afar off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And his son said to his father, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For my son was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and he is found.' And they began to celebrate." This is one of the most popular texts in the Bible, talking about the prodigal son. And this is a story about a father and his two sons. And of course, a lot of the attention goes to the younger son. And he starts off by telling the father that he wants his inheritance now. And the thing about asking for his inheritance now, it talks about it's not due to the sons until the death of their father. And so the story starts by saying that the son is asking, even before the father dies, "I want what's due to me." And that it was not a sin for him to ask for his wages now, but it was a shame to his family. The word prodigal literally means comparison. So Jesus began to teach and talk about this parable, and he began to explain about what happened with, first of all, this younger son. This younger son, he felt that he could no longer trust his father, and he no longer wanted to listen to what his father had to tell him. He no longer wanted to live under his roof, no longer wanted to do all the chores that it took, that he had to, as a young Jewish boy, he had to be obedient to his father until his father died. Then he was freed from that obligation, and then he would receive the inheritance that was due him at the death of his father. But this younger son did not want to wait to the death of his father. He could no longer trust his father. He no longer wanted to do his chores. Now he wanted what was due him at this moment. And so he went to his father and he said, "Father, give me what's due me now, not when you die." And the Bible does not say that the father argued with him, but yet out of love and compassion, the father divided what was his at his death and gave it to his younger son now. And so what happens now, because this was an embarrassment on the entire family, and especially the name of his father. And so this younger son has all of this money, and so he takes it around town and he begins to convert property into money. And everyone knows what he's doing. He's leaving his father. He's leaving his responsibility, and he's bringing shame on this family. And so the entire community knew this, and yet the father still had compassion and he loved on his son. And again, the most important thing is to remember that this was a shame culture. When you go out, everyone wants to know who you belong to. And growing up as a kid, everyone understands when people look at you, they want to know who your family is, who's your father, because they can tell a lot by who your father was, or a lot by who your grandfather was. And so this young man, they knew who his father was, and he brought shame on his entire family. And so there was an argument with the father. The father did not argue with the son, but he gave him what was due him at his death right now. He gave all of it. And so, give me my inheritance. It also speaks about The inheritance means responsibility. It's not enough to say, Father, give me all of my money now. Give me everything that is due me now. But it goes along with it some responsibilities. And so when he gives the son his inheritance, he was expected to carry the load of the responsibility of now that you have received this, you have a responsibility to the father's name. You are to take on his name, take on his property, and increase his property, increase his land. It's not just take the money and run, but take the money and increase what the father has given you. But the son wanted his inheritance, but he did not want the responsibility that came with the inheritance. That's just like us today. We want everything God gave us, but we don't want the responsibility that comes with it. We want to be head in our ministries, but we don't want the responsibility that it takes to labor before God daily and every night on our faces with the responsibility that God gave us something. So it's not just God give me, but God will give it, but he also wants you to understand there's a responsibility that goes with the inheritance that he's giving you. So he wanted the inheritance, but he didn't want the responsibility. He wanted the gift, but he didn't want the responsibility to come with that gift. He says, just give me my money now. And so the boy receives his money. He goes and he converts the land into money. And the Bible says he goes to a far country. And again, this brings shame to the family because he goes to hang out with the Gentiles. And no reputable, no honest young Jewish boy would ever go hang out with any Gentiles. And yet this is what this young son did. And all of his life, he thought about while he was doing chores and doing what the father asked. He thought he was in captivity. And so when he said, anytime I get a chance to go out and live it up, I'm going to do just that. I don't have to listen to my father anymore. I don't have to hear what he's saying. I can do what I want to do because now I'm on my own and I'm grown. And all of us have heard that statement that I'm grown and I can do what I want. And so this young man, he takes out into a far country. You remember the Bible says in Proverbs that train up a child in the way he should go. And then when he gets old, he would not depart from this. And so this young man, he goes out and he begins to live it up. He got friends because he's got money. He's paying for everything, so everybody is his BFF. Everybody is his friend because he's paying for him. So when they go out, he says, don't worry about it. I'm paying for everything. But then the story does not end there. He's paying for everything, so the month, as long as he's got money, he's got friends. As long as his pockets are fat, he's got friends. And so everybody was this young man's best friend. But then the Bible says there was a severe famine that hit the land. Money ran out, and guess what? So did the friend. As long as he had money, he had friends, but his money ran out, and all of those friends, they also left him. And so now this young man, this young Jewish boy, was caught in a dilemma. He had no money, he had no food, and he was hungry, and the only job available was the job that no Jewish boy should ever take. He had a job to feed the pigs. They were considered unclean. They could not feed them. They could not hang out with them, and they could not eat that. And yet this young man, because he was desperate, he's here feeding the pigs. And the Bible says now he's standing there feeding the pigs, and all of a sudden he thinks to himself, and he says, my father at his house, his servants are even eating better than I am. And I'm sitting here with these unclean pigs, starving to death. I don't have any money. What I'll do is I'll get up, and I'll go back to my father, and I'll say, Father, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please bring me on as one of your hired servants. And so traditionally, most of us think this young man has repented right now. But if you look at it, what he's doing is he's rehearsing his line to his daddy. He's sorry for what he's done, but has he truly repented for what he's done? He's sorry for taking the father's money. He's sorry for bringing shame to the name. He's sorry that all his money is gone and all his friends are gone. But has he truly repented for what he's done? Acts chapter 2 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked with their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Again in Luke chapter 5. Verse 30, he says, but the scribes and the Pharisees murmured against the disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with the publicans and the sinners? And Jesus answered and said to them, they that are whole do not need a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And so this young man was not really repenting because he was rehearsing his story. He was rehearsing what he was going to tell his father. Luke uses a word here when he says he came to himself. This is not the traditional word that Luke used some 25 different times in the book of Acts as well as the book of Luke. This word has less weight on it when he says he came to himself. In other words, he's sorry, but he has not yet repented. And so all the way home, this young man is repeating this line over and over again in his head. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Father, I've sinned against heaven. He's repeating, so he didn't want to forget what he was about to tell his father. And now comes the father on the scene. This is one of the most exciting things because it talks about the love, the unconditional love of the father. So while the boy was coming, he's still rehearsing his story. He's rehearsing his line. The Bible says the father looks out and he sees his son from a distance. And now what he should have done, as any other father, he would have sat there and waited for that boy to come all the way from where he was back to his feet, kneel down and repent for what he's done. But that's not what this father does. This father, the Bible says, as he sees his son from a distance, he runs to his son. Now, this brings shame to him because all of his servants now look at this man. He was a well-distinguished man. He has a long flowing robe on, and one thing a distinguished Jewish man would never do, he would never run in public. But the Bible says he took off running to his son. He took shame for the purpose or for the sake of his own son. And in order to run with a long robe on, he had to do something else that brought shame to him. He had to expose his legs. He had to lift up that long robe and expose his leg. And so now all the servants are looking at this master of the house. And he's looking and wondering, how could he do this? But yet the love of the father, he'll do everything for his children. Isn't this the story of the cross when the Bible says he who knew no sin became sin for us? What better love than a man would lay down his life for his children? That's what he did for us. And so the Bible says the father reaches the son and then he begins to grab him and hug him and kiss him. And now the son is repenting because he sees how much the father truly loves him. And so he begins to rehearse this line and say, Father, I sin. And the father stops in the middle of the sentence and said, wait. Bring a brand new robe for my son and bring a ring for his fingers. And yet, if you haven't noticed, the son came back barefoot and he said, bring shoes for his feet. For my son that was dead, he is alive now. And bring and kill the fatted calf. And so we're having a celebration because my son that was lost, he's now been found. And so music starts and a celebration starts. And now enters the older son. He's out in the field doing what every good Jewish boy does. He's working. He's the law. He represents the law. He's working. He's doing what his responsibility was. But he never actually had a relationship with his father. And so the son calls for the servant and says, what's going on here? I hear music. He says, your younger brother who was lost, he's been found. He's back and your father is celebrating. So now the older son becomes angry. Instead of going into the party, he stays out. And the father understood that the older son is not yet in the celebration. And because he's part of the family, he's part of the father, he didn't need an invite. When the music started, that was his invitation, but the son wouldn't go. The father again brings shame on him by leaving a party that he's hosting. And he comes out to his older son and said, why are you not in? He says, my brother that mistreated you and brought you shame, you're celebrating him. I've never broke one of your rules or commandments, and you never allowed me to do one thing with my friends. And he says, son, everything that I have, it belongs to you. This is a story of a relationship. The younger son failed to realize he had a relationship with the father, and the older son failed to realize that he too had a relationship with the father. For us today, the father will go through no lengths to embarrass himself for you because he loves you. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. The story of the prodigal son is actually a story of two sons that failed to realize the importance of the relationship with the father. Please remember, there's nothing better in this world than your relationship with your father, your heavenly father. He loves you enough to bring shame to the name for your sake. In Jesus' name.